Dear Father, we thank you this morning for yet another time to fellowship with one another. Thank you for the great grace that is upon us and the outpouring of your Spirit through us as well. We ask this morning that you flood our minds with your understanding. Thank you for stirring our hearts. We want you this morning to stir our hearts the more. Our hearts are open. There's no one here that's rebellious. We are yielded to the power of your Holy Spirit. And together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this session, he is glorified as we are edified, built up by the power of your Holy Spirit, established alongside those who hear us every day in the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Now, one thing about a local assembly is that the way the scriptures are done and taught, that work of evangelism. Now, I know that for some of us, for me, for example, in growing up as a Christian, I wasn't really particular when I do evangelism. I wasn't particular about what happens after. It was just a question of preaching. You just preach, you know. I'm sharing my experience. Then later on, I will just preach. Of course, we had the school fellowship. You will come. It was in belonging to the Deeper Life Bible Church, where you now had some kind of, oh, where is that brother? Where is that sister? Then you now had the responsibility to not just preach, but to ensure that that brother, in fact, you will be told that that brother must not be missing in heaven. So, you would ensure that the brother or the sister, of course, usually you won't do sister. You look for a sister to do sister. You know, that the person is in the church, in the fellowship. But someone now came and said, no, that's evangelism to expand your kingdom. You know, people can use funny terms. So you begin to feel bad that am I preaching the gospel for people to make heaven or to be in church? Is the two. And that must be clear in our minds. It's the two. Yes, to receive eternal life and be saved, okay, and to also be in the assembly of the saints. So, it's something that we shouldn't have the sense of just announcing and preaching for the sake of people hearing. No. We have a greater responsibility, you know, towards that. Matthew 9 again. Remember we were there and spoke about preaching and teaching in 35, so we don't take too much on time with this. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. And then because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Now he calls the harvest the scattered, the fainted. He said, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, on Wednesday, you know, we saw that there was a background to it in Moses and Joshua. Okay? And we also saw that it was referred to in 1 Kings 22 and also eventually Ezekiel 34. We have a lot of shepherd narrative. Now, I'm going to have an hybrid session in the sense of I'm going to talk about two different things that are connected. Now, the first is, what do I really do with, one, a first timer? What do I do with a new convert? What do I do? Somebody is born again. And it can happen to us. I may be the one to preach, that's preached to the person, or someone else did that job and added the person over to me. What do I do to a new convert or a first timer? Now, like I said, it's hybrid. So I'm going to be oscillating. I'm going to move from something to another thing. I trust that you have such, you'll be able to, you know, pay attention. Now, within the New Testament words, we have an Old Testament explanation. For example, when in Acts 6, when the apostles were going to choose deacons, which, I mean, deacons means just servants, those who will serve. and they rolled out the, what you can call the qualifications, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and of honest and good reports, which Paul expanded in 1 Timothy chapter 3 from about verse 1 to 11 and 12. You see that the background of it was something that happened in Exodus 18. This was Moses. Exodus 18. Now I said, what do I do with the person who is the first time? Exodus 18. Now Moses was having, they just left Egypt and then they were right there in the wilderness. So his father-in-law Jethro, who was a priest of God, came. And this was a turning point for Christian ministry in the whole Bible. This particular experience was a turning point. So, and that says a lot. Sometimes you can, if you're not careful, one will be going to the ocean to fetch water with a bucket. And that's a lot of effort, but at the end of the day, you discover that the efforts are maybe typically being wasted. Now, Exodus 18, Jethro now came and came to visit him. Exodus 18, let me just get to the one. Then in verse 13, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. So he sat down and he was teaching them. Sometimes, if one is not careful, you can turn your cell group, fellowship center, into a teaching center. And all you are doing is preparing sermons. So Moses was doing this from morning till evening. Then Jethro's father saw all that he did to the people. He said, what is this thing that you do to the people? Why sittest thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto the evening. Then Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God, to know God. They came to know God. When they have a matter, they come to me. This is the word, me. I judge between one another. I. I make them do the service of God and his laws. Me, I. So basically, they will come. He was doing all the talking. He was doing all the teaching. Then he answered. I know the writers of scripture are so deliberate about what they said here. The thing that thou doest is not good. If you are confident with the Bible, that resonates with Genesis straight away. This is not proper. This is not good. That, and the thing about it is that it was a large congregation. So it wasn't that they were not growing. They didn't have numbers. It was a very large congregation. So he stood from morning till evening and was just teaching them. Then he said, thou will surely wear away. That's a fact. Both you and these people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy. Now, resonate to Matthew 9. Jesus said the laborers are few. Which is, he didn't expect himself to be the only one doing what he was doing. So he said, you will wear yourself and the people, for this thing is too heavy for you. Then he says, that thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. You see, that was a contrast of what he was saying. Me. He said, it can't be you alone. The work of the ministry is too big for one person. If Jesus himself couldn't do it alone, it can't be you alone. No. So he said to him, hearken now to my voice, I will give thee counsel. You know, we said ministry deals a lot with practical wisdom. Practical counsel, which comes from experience. I will give you counsel. Right? So he diagnosed the problem. Thank God that, you know, like I don't even like that kind of person in my team. Somebody who just comes to spot the problem. Even the company I work, the next question I'll ask them, so what is the solution? The last thing you can tell me is a problem. I mean, all those work we know. You can't just come. Before you come to me with the problem, you must have thought the solution. Anybody can sit down and criticize. What is the solution? What do we do? You can't say, hey, you see, what's going on? So what are we to do? So this is very objective. He spotted, and this is key, because that means as he was seeing the problem, you know, some people find problems to every solution. He saw the problem. He must have taken time, because a priest, to prayerfully, meditatively think about what can he do in this situation. Some guys, you know, everything they will say about the body of Christ, the body of Christ, okay, wait, where, what should the body of Christ do? We don't know. Jesus should just come. Oh God. What do we do now? So he gave him counsel. He spotted the problem. He observed it. Then he said, I will give you counsel and God be with you. Be thou for the people to God what? That thou mayest bring their causes to God. He's saying here that the first thing, and the only thing you can do for everybody is to pray. You can't train everybody. The first thing is bring their causes before God, which means that my first role as a cell group leader, a zonal pastor, district pastor, house worship leader, is to pray. That's my first role. So a Christian leader is first of all a prayer leader. My first role is to pray. That this one you are doing from morning till night, for everybody, can only be successful if you are doing it in praying for them. So that's my say. You will bring their causes before God. Now, what did the apostle say? We will not leave the word of God and serve. We will give ourselves continually to what? Prayer. What did he tell Timothy? First, that's Acts 6, 4. In 1 Timothy 2, 1. First of all, prayer. And the Greek of that first of all, proton, is not an interjection. It's an emphasis on what is foundational. When you say proton, it's the same thing Jesus said, the first and great commandment. Matthew 22, verse 36 and 37. So when you say, first of all, it means, as a pastor, first of all, prayer. Anyone who wants to preach and teach without a strong ministry of prayer is only preaching to impress. Because what changes lives is not the depth of information that you give, it is the prayer that you pray with the depth of that information. So you must know that your first job for everybody is to pray. So I'm going to ask you, do you have a prayer list? Do you have, I grew up having a prayer diary where I'll have people I pray for every day. So I'll say, on Monday I'm praying for someone. So you write out the people on a daily basis. You are praying for them. You are praying for them. So your first one, the one you will do the most, is not teaching. It's praying. So he says you will bring their causes to God. That's the first thing. So anything about their lives, before you start to teach and preach, you start to pray. You birth them. Kenneth Hagin will say that we have many conversions but few births. And you understand what I was trying to say? That many, you know, there's no much, he called it intercession. There's not much praying for people where you actually labor and pray for them. So the first thing is that you are praying for them. Bring their causes before God. That's the first thing he says here. Then he says, and thou shalt teach them the ordinances and the law. Do you see the sequence? Prayer, then teaching. Prayer, then teaching. Prayer, then teaching. You pray, Then you teach them the ordinances and the laws. Let me say something interesting here. At this time, Moses had not given the Ten Commandments. Talk less of the sin and 12 laws. So that's not what he was talking about, though. Remember in Genesis 26 and 5, God said about Abraham that he followed his statutes, his charges, his commandments. And he wasn't talking about the laws of Moses. So basically he's saying here that all that is God's wisdom, God's word, you will teach them. He said, one, you pray for them. Number two, you will teach them. Then he now says, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk. So, which means that I teach by precept and by example. Which means there is a way. What is the how? How? If you teach prayer, is there a prayer meeting? If you teach studying of the word of God, is there, how do you find out? So, which means in our cell groups, there must be a practical where we put it to work. So, where? How do I know? So, one, teach them, show them the way they must walk. I'm going to come to that one shortly. Then look at this last thing he says. And the work they must do. Can you see that one? And the work that they must do. And the work. Is that training for ministry? And the work. So let's break it down. My job in my cell group is one, to pray. One, to pray. How many videos have you held this year for the members of your cell group? Vigils. Someone say, I don't believe in vigils. You know, all those, you know, and I say, well, depends on which city you are living. If you live in Lagos, the only time you're able to pray is at night. Because of where you go to work. By the time you are back, I'm just joking with you. By the time you are back, by 9 p.m., you just sleep and wake up. That's the time you can pray. But basically, I'm saying that, how many vigils have you had for those under your care? How many retreats, prayer retreats, have you done for them? How many hours do you pray every day for those under your care? How? So, those of you say, well, prayer is not how long, it's how deep. They are saying nonsense. What do you even mean? What do you even mean? The person saying prayer is not how long has no responsibility in the work of the ministry. You have 50 people that you are overseeing. What is the average time you'll be praying for them a week? I'm just asking. 50. Let's just say 50. You want to pray for each person maybe once a week. Right? Except you want to say, plus Jesus minus Satan. God bless him. There are things you will pray for, Pauline prayers. There are things you will be led to pray about. And that's why usually, by the time you are teaching and ministering, you will get things bullseye. You just pick on things easily because you have been praying. So we have to pray. The work of ministry is spiritual warfare. So you cannot handle it because you can't rely on your preaching and say, if I just know how to explain scripture, it's a joke. You have to pray. Paul says, I did not cease to make... Who could have thought like Paul? I cease not to pray for you. Which means I don't stop praying. And look at all the instructions of prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says to pray always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. Which means you are not going to stop at all. So my first job for a new convert, my first job over the person under my care is to pray. I'm not saying the prayer you pray on the pulpit. The prayer you pray alone. So there must be a prayer culture to pray for people. 1. I bring their causes to God. Then I teach them. I teach them. So I therefore am teaching. Of course, Mark 11:17, I didn't know the first thing. It says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. What Jesus referred to the church that way, quoting Isaiah 56, verse 7. So you pray regularly. You pray. Just like Jesus, just like the apostles, you pray continually. And I'm not talking about prayer meetings. Oh, you know, this morning we came for prayer. That's not what I'm talking about. Oh. I'm saying you praying. You praying. I remember one time like that. A pastor, I was pastoring, but I was a member of the campus worship school. I used to do that, but I won't have been able to do it again. So I would go to the pastor and I would say, sir, so I said, what can we pray about? He was looking at me. Yeah, pray about. I said, no. I mean, how should we pray for people? What do you have on your heart? He was lost. How would you not know what we should be praying about? Someone said, well, be prayer as you are led. Sometimes you are led. Sometimes just open your eyes. When you see what you are seeing, you know how to pray. When Jesus saw Jerusalem, he wept. He just saw it. You can use your eyes to see it. I said, what can we pray about? But I noticed that when they were praying, they would just come on Saturday. That in the, they have this prayer meeting on Saturday mornings. They'll just be speaking in tongues. Fine. I said, but what are we praying about? They didn't know. They just said, we're just edifying ourselves. I said, you can't do that now. Paul had what he was praying about. Jesus had what he was praying. What are you praying about? That you are praying the Spirit about. So, I must know what I'm praying about. And this is why a pastor must not be a gossip. There are things people will tell you is to pray about it. And don't use it on the pulpit. Amen? Up of Jesus. Don't use it on the pulpit. You have to pray about it. People have marital challenges. They will have, it's going to come. People have financial problems. Though that one prayer usually doesn't solve it. They will have different problems. People will have problems in their health that, you know, you'll just be standing with them in prayer. I've had somebody who went into surgery. And I just took hours. As they were in the surgery room, I was praying. That's part of your job. Amen. I mean, there's somebody I was also praying about to that God should deliver him from being a Chelsea fan. And, you know, that's also part of your prayer point. You know? But that may be what is troubling your fellowship. You know, I'm just saying that sometimes you have to also open your eyes and see what is the challenge. Or somebody saying it's a red devil. How can somebody be a red devil and you want the person to be filled with the Holy Spirit? No, I'm just talking practical. These are practical things. I mean, let's face it. So you, what are you praying about? There are those who want to make traveling plans. So there are a lot of things. You will always bring their causes to God. So before you teach, you pray. That's the first thing. Then it says you teach them. Okay? I won't say much of that because we do that a lot. We teach them. Then you show them the way they must walk. You show them. So there must be practicality to it. You show them. So as a pastor, you are a counselor, you are a trainer, you are a model, you are a mentor. Of course, when we say pastor, I mean in church, I mean, we have people we call pastor, but anybody who is over anyone in Christ, whether it is 2 or 3 or 4, is a pastor. I know you're not going to change your name and change your Facebook to pastor. You know, some people like to do that. No, they don't do that. I mean, it's just showing your function, what you're doing. So the work they must do. Now, having said that, the next thing he now says that, look, it's a sequence. Moreover, that is afterwards, you will provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, place over such them. So, which means that we don't jump to verse 21 before verse 19 and 20. The end product of it is that you will now provide men. That's still where it's going to. So he's saying, Moses, you have work to do. You will, first of all, he's saying that your teaching ministry is having no direction. You know, the first thing is Moses will do it. Everything we have said there, Moses will do it. Number one, Moses, you must pray. Number two, you must teach. Number three, you must show them what to do. Number four, you must now train them for the work of the ministry. Then, you will now delegate. So, you will pray, you would teach, you will show what to do, then you will train for the work they must do. So the end point of my discipleship is to have a worker. Can we put it like that way? Can we put it that way? So a first timer, a new convert, the project is project worker. Huh? Project worker. A worker is somebody who works. It's not somebody who sits in church alone, but who works. So which means we can rate our growth by how many people are workers. Our growth will be how many are workers. Those who know the work that they must do. So the strength, the real strength of the membership are those who are workers. Of course, if they are workers, they'll be in the prayer meetings, right? They'll be in the outreaches, they'll be the ones giving, they'll be available in church, you know, and all that. And they'll be very responsible. Very, very responsible. Like I said, I was saying, that church, they don't start early. The way they don't keep to time. I said, are you sure that you're not the reason why they don't keep to time? He said, me care. It cannot be me, oh. Me, I get there early. That's what I'm saying. Are you sure you are not the reason? If one single person is in the ushering department, is in the tapes department, is in the protocol, it's because others who should volunteer are not volunteering. Why would they not start services late? Which department do you belong to? He was looking at me like a cow at the new gate. So, if you had volunteered, that person who had to do three things at the same time will do one thing. They will start church early. You are sermon taster, church visitor, church supervisor. Who knows? I don't know what happened. The screen went off. Why did the screen? We know what happened because we are the ones working. You can't know what happened because you are always coming to watch. So we need to breed responsible believers. So as I'm teaching, training, I'm training to be a worker. You must know what you are doing. And you must be very focused. The end point is the work that they must do. And don't be ashamed about it. Don't say, people just say, are you just training workers? That's what we are doing. Would a professor be angry? A professor of medicine be ashamed to say he's training medical doctors?
No.
That's what you are called to do. The work that they must do. So what do I do with a first timer? A new convert. I am his prayer leader, prayer partner, prayer helper, a prayer helper, prayer partner. So he now becomes a life partner. Amen. That's how it starts. I just believe you should grow spiritually. Amen. It's a toasting line now. One of my friends will say that, Jesus talked about 99. It's a joke, oh, don't go and use it to preach. He said, one sheep is now missing. He said, one sheep. Just one. He leaves the 99 and goes for one. That one. He now comes back with that one on his life. So we used to call. Don't let me go for that. You know how rascally we are being. Anyway, you are the prayer partner. You are praying for people. That's the first thing. You are going to have somebody whose life is scattered. Well, you start with prayer. Then you teach. Then you show. Then you train. Repeat the steps again. You pray, you teach, you show, and you train. Repeat it again. You pray. Now, does it have a timeline?
No.
We saw yesterday that Paul was still training Timothy. That is why we are all here today. Paul was still training Timothy. It's not because you are not solid. No. People think that those who take notes are because they don't know something. Okay, what am I saying that doctor does not know? Or mama doesn't know? That's not what I'm saying. It resonates with things they've seen over and over the years. But it's not about just hearing things again and again. Do you understand? It's not because you don't even know what I'm saying. We just need to keep our focus. Because there's something that we need to fight against. Is lack of focus. Lack of focus. You should be a person of the word. Should be a focused person. Because the word is focused. You should be focused. What are you doing? At each point in time. If they wake you up. What are you doing? You should be able to say it. Focus. So, what are we doing with the first timer, a new convert? Very straightforward. So, I'll pick on the last two. The prayer one. It's simple. We pray for them every time. I'm going to use my colleague pastors as an example again. There are things that I will see that naturally I should just correct them and I won't. I'd rather just pray for them. And some things you won't talk about it. Just go and pray about it. Some things you address it immediately. Some things you just pray. Some things you just watch. Because sometimes one of the job of a pastor is to actually allow people to make mistakes. Because that's how they can learn. Not fatal error. Just watch it. So, you pray regularly. You have to pray continually. Except you want to join those who are entertainers. You know a preacher can be an entertainer and he's teaching the word. All he's doing is just entertaining. Every week he'll be bringing fresh revs. Fresh revs. What can I say this week again that will make them tickle their eyes? Yeah. Do you know that the beard of Moses is the Holy Ghost? Who said, bring it up, Papa. Bring it up. So every week, that's entertaining people. Sometimes, you know, you spend time over what you are taught last week and you just pray with burdens. Just pray so that the thing is birthed in the lives of people. Pray. Two, teach. You have to teach. It's even funny that you say, I'm a pastor, but I'm not a teacher. What are you even saying? I'm a pilot, but I don't fly planes. I'm a doctor, but I don't like blood. What does it mean? I'm a lawyer, but I don't like the courts. I'm a driver, I have no car. What are you talking about? I'm a pastor, but I'm a husband I don't have a wife. That's what I'm a wife. What are you talking about? I'm a pastor, but I don't teach. What are you saying? That's dissonance. That is the job. Because you notice that even showing them the way they will go and training is also teaching. So teaching is not just sermons. Teaching is also practical things. So I'm going to ask you, what are the activities that you have to train the first timer and the new convert? What are the activities? There should be activities. For example, is there a feedback where I know that you are studying the teaching? Is there a feedback? I don't know what year it was, but I think it must be 27 years ago. I started a correspondence because I should use the book of Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin to teach first, to teach new converts. Not just new converts, but just people I knew. So I now started a correspondence. And that correspondence would be, I would get books. I used to get books from Luko Amosuka in Ibadan and one other place, Christ Chapel. So I'll get the books of Kenyon and Hagin and Copeland. Then I will now design a correspondence. So that when you are reading it, I'll be asking you questions. So when I'm going to check people up, in fact, my very first student, where in the meeting? She came now, that I said, my very first student that I enlisted, I mean, the stable one, that was 27 years ago, 27, yeah. She came for one of our, it's been a while, she just said, this is my first student. She came for the meeting. I said, I'll take the books, and say, now, she's a pastor now, and she has planted like these two churches now. So I said, see, oh yeah, did you study this? Yes, right. Sometimes I go to the board and say, I've not read it, let's read it together. They are doing a correspondence. You know that correspondence course is now used by one of our today. That I started feedback. Are you really reading it? Someone just said, well, I was blessed. There was somebody like that gave one of our books, a man of God. Doctor knows the person, so I will start laughing soon. So I gave the person a book. So the person said, wow. So when I said, how is the book? The person said, oh man of God, I devoured that book. What insights are in the book? So, I now went to his office. We're not talking. You already know the person I'm talking about. So he now asked the question about Hebrews 6. That you know, I don't have a problem with what you and Dr. Abel are teaching and all that. You know, he knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You will see it now. I think doctor has forgotten. It's been years. So the person that you called on the phone, you now remember. Say, I like what you and Dr. Abel are teaching, but I have a problem with your Hebrews 6 and all that. I said, Hebrews 6. I said, sir, you can't read that book. He said, well, I must admit, my wife took it to that. So I said, you know what? Okay, let me screenshot the area. Because I think it was too big for the man of God to read. So I just had to let me screenshot it. I said, sir, I'll give you a new book, a new copy. Go to the page. It may be stressful, starting from introduction to this. Go to that page so that you can solve that immediate problem. So you now text him and say, I saw what you wrote. I think it's beautiful and all that. That is a man of God. Who was using Lamba? Do you understand? That's Lamba now. So you must have feedback. What's the feedback mechanism? So if I give you a book, maybe I give you, what's the latest book? I think we have a book on the move of the spirit. If I give you a book like that, I am in my head, I have my questions. So I'm coming back because I want to ensure you are studying. Also, after church, so what did you learn? Don't be very careful with that one. Some brethren, that what did you learn is for them to teach their own, no? But not you, not you. You are born again, spiritually, children of God. It is, years ago, that's how we do. Why am I using these guys? Are you using you guys to this time a lot? Years ago, almost about 20 years ago too, we do teachings out. For morning to evening, I'll say any questions, people will ask questions, we'll go. I think we should do 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day, every week like that. They'll travel back. I will fill up the sitting room, living room, and all that. So there was no particular person in the ministry. When I'm done, the person will now gather them in one corner. So what did you learn? I didn't send the person though. What did you learn? They will now be saying, they learn. So I just saw them when they say, what is happening here? I chased them. There is no place. I just chased them in the temple. Now they didn't understand what I was doing. I knew what was going. But later on, they said, they now saw what I did. It's not everything I'm going to explain to you. If I have to explain everything to you, you'll have died. Is that I'm going to explain to you? Look how they now saw the person's plot. After pastor has said any questions, which one are you asking again? If you ask me, pastor says, question and answers, and you don't ask, they come and meet me and ask me, I say, tomorrow when he calls me, ask it. It's not my question. It's so simple. Are we in church? So, we teach. What's the feedback? Have you had people repeat what you preached before? You say, I didn't say it too. That's not what I meant. That is now practical. The way they must walk. The walk. Then, the walk. Which means, you must take them alongside. Practical things. When I got born again, at 10:30 a.m. in the morning. I got filled with the Holy Ghost 15 minutes after. I will say that if they had waited a few hours, I would not have spoken in tongues. Because if I looked at the way they were speaking in tongues, I won't join them. Because if they had spoken in tongues, they are asking to come and get filled with the Holy Ghost in the evening, I would have seen what they were saying. This is stupid. I will never have joined them. But they didn't allow me to think. Just spoken, and it was real. Because I think. So I said, what is it? So when I said, what are you saying? They say, Satan is confused. Eh? That's what he's speaking in tongues about. What may I say? Satan don't have anything to do. Why is he confused about me? They say, no, just don't worry. It's your prayer language. God hears it. Satan is confused. God hears it. Satan is confused. So God hears what I'm saying. I don't understand. Satan is confused. Ah, I'm sure I'm not the Satan that is confused. Because both me and Satan, we are both confused. So it was good that they did not explain all that thing to me before I spoke in tongues. Or else, wala deo, I won't have. She just say, I won't have. Ajay, I won't have. I was just going to look at them. You don't understand. Me, I don't understand. It's better I don't say what I don't understand. By evening, 4 o'clock, I had done my first evangelism. That same day. That's the normal pattern, sir. Yes. Yeah, let's go together. It's a normal pattern. They will not give you tracts. Yes. By the next day, they took me to prayer meeting. Sharp, sharp. Nobody was giving you cake. All these things they do today. Cake, sweets, biscuits, coke. I went to one church. I was saying, Dr. Elias, I was a first timer. That's how they served us. Jollof rice. Chicken. Dodo. Juice. Hey! This is my church! I cannot remember. This is the day. I can't remember the name of the church. Well, light alive, somebody be like, I cannot remember. This is the day. Yeah, I know it's in VI. Someone said, let's go to one church. I know that. And Sunday morning, I said, let me just go. Yeah. Do you know, by the next Sunday, I came went back again. I was someone else, and I stood up again as a first timer. Somebody was looking at me like this. The way I hide the guy. if you look at me. Jollof rice, chicken, dodo, juice. They now gave us cake. First time was cake. They caught cake. Ah! How I go remember doctrine? So, that's interesting. If a first timer, what they're giving is food. It's not wrong to give people, they are visitors, but give them something else. When I saw it in Christ Embassy, that was about 1993-94, I was so impressed. They give them a book. Go and read. I said, hey, this is more like the training. A book. When I got born again, they just gave me a book straight away. Now that you're born again, this book by Paul Ginodu, New Life in Christ. So simple. I go and read it. So the person who was going to follow me up knew what he was following me up with. By the evening, he said, so but he preached right there, and he said, is your turn next? I said, now? He said, no. I got there. I said, brother, give your life to God. Oh. I just gave my life to God. Oh. But that was where the journey started from. the work that they must do. There is no time that there's, okay, after 6 weeks. No, immediately. Paul, immediately. The apostle, immediately. 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 But you won't know what to do. Even you now. Do you still know everything to do? Nobody starts preaching when he has known everything. We are all still learning. If we are not learning, why are we studying? You get my point? So, the work they must do. Do you take your members out to preach? Do you go together? Do you take them out to preach? I'm going to use you guys as an example again. I asked them to go for evangelism. This must be 2023, right? Okay. Why are you the one in front? It's like you are inspiring me to be talking about it. That's how they went and came back with no soul. Just stories. Yeah. Somebody liked what we were saying. The worst one that came back, that was the worst. Said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're having like a soul winners conference. Was soul winners conference, right? So he now said, if I saw a Muslim brother, he really liked this program. He said he will come in the evening. Evangelism. But that is just to know the work that should be done. At least he has started. He has started. We will criticize those who say, good morning, Jesus, the bus. When did you ever get up in the bus? If you are God, who will you reward? The guy who is about, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. What is he saying? Eternal life. Is that the gospel? But he sits down and is now watching the Chelsea game in the bus. See, that's the only parable that I know. That's likely to the kingdom of heaven. I don't know any other parable. See, seriously. Trust my heart. My conscience is clear. So if you were God, who would you reward? The guy who is there, who's good morning, he said, brother, hell fire is coming up. And his boy is getting up. Every day, they were busy, keep quiet! And he says, on the last day. And you that say, he doesn't even know what the last day is. And you sat in the bus. Doesn't know what the last day is. Last day is the word eschaton emeras. It's when God has fulfilled all. Oh, God, get up and preach. Ah! Do you understand? Get up and preach. Nobody is rewarded for thinking or planning. The reward is for doing. Get up, at least the person who got up and sang eternal life has inspired you. It has inspired you. Now, you that know what eternal life is, can you please say something? So you take them out to preach. Take them out to preach. Take them to pray. Pray together. Let's go and pray. Which prayer meeting did I lead these guys years back? Some people were kneeling down, getting up. One brother went, is it Dan? Is it YJ? Eh? I know it's not you. But YJ came to meet you and said, I think the prayer has been answered. I think God has heard us. Let's go and tell Pastor. And the one leading the prayer is the one that got the answer. But the guy is a pastor today. So you take them to pray. You are molding the life. Sometimes from the point of, some people take them, you tell them from secondary school, university, till they marry, till they have children. I'm telling you. Through all that phase, but your focus is still the work that they must do. Practical. One, you will pray. That one is not when they are there.
Don't say, you know, when you're praying. When they knock your door, oh, Father, I pray for Shekou now. That one is hypocrite. That one is show. You're not praying like that, you're talking to the person. Then you teach. Right? Many of us just do the number two alone. Just teach. You think just explain. After the person will run away. Then the walk. How they must walk. Then the walk that they must do. So what do I do with a first timer? What do I do with a new convert? That also includes somebody who has no church and is just straying in the body of Christ. Like Fulani goats. Just straight. Who had no head leader. Just going around. So I don't believe in the church. The churches have been terrible. The churches are really bad. The churches are... my own is not. You understand? My own isn't. Say, I don't... How do you know? Well, come. Sit down. Then we talk the word of God together. There are people like that too. So what do I do with them? I pray. Every soul under your care is a prayer point. Every day. It's a prayer point every day. Number two. You said you teach. I'm repeating it deliberately. You teach. You explain. The more reason why you must pay attention when you are listening. A friend of mine, Femi Olubajo, he said this to me years ago. He said, when you have a burden for ministry, there's a way you will hear a sermon that is different. You'll be very, very responsible. Back then, you know, we used to queue for tapes. You will queue. They'll say, when is this going to be out? They say, it's going to be out in next 1 week. This is at least this day that you get it live. 1 week. And you will wait. You say, but I paid for it. They say, it's not ready until next week. The topic of last week. Because usually the duplicator is just one. They now bought one that can do three at the same time. You know, you will queue. That's why you will pay attention a lot in the service. I'll get the teaching. It's not good. It's not good. I'll get the teaching. It's not a good attitude. If you are there, take the notes. Be dedicated to it. Go back home and look at it. The apostles did not have recording devices. We got the teaching of Jesus from them. Listen well. You have a responsibility. A huge responsibility. That is why your job is not to immediately go and preach what you are listening to. That is not wise. You have a responsibility to teach it well. So you must listen. Imagine we finished a lecture. Maybe you were doing a physics class. Then as we are going, we went to do your own tutorial. Do you even understand what the man taught? No. Go on. Your first job is to study, to understand it well. Ask questions where necessary. Teach. Then show them the way they must walk. And the walk they must do. You know that all this will happen in the local assembly. So there is no way to carry out the Great Commission outside the local assembly. It's not possible. How do you want to do it? The local assembly is what puts structure to it. And structure puts orderliness. For example now, if doctor is going to check what we are doing, he knows what to check. If there are pastor, we've been having a great time, our zone is doing well, he will say, how many of them came for prayer cruise? That's how we are going to mark your script. Actually, I'm the only one. Okay, good. How many were around on Wednesday service? There was one person, but he came late. Good. Number two. How many, when we were going to pay for TV, how many gave? It's part of it too. I'm the only one. Number three. When we went for evangelism, how many followed you? Actually, they were all not available. Oga, you are not growing. They can show up in the service on Sunday. You know, Sunday service is not any commitment. It's a holiday.
And we were, I mean, this is likely a Christian state anyway. We were trained to go to church on Sunday. You have a Sunday feeling, self.
Yeah.
Sunday. So, really, what happens in the other days? That is the committed Christian. Except your name is Daraprim. Daraprim is Sunday medicine. So you have that. Look at your own litmus test. Do they show up in prayer meetings? Do they show up when we're having workers' meetings? That is how to know. You must mark your script yourself. Because the Christian life is a life of fruitfulness. There must be fruit. In John 15 verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. That verse 2 always gets me thinking. He said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he said, my Father will take away. Of course, the Greek of that thing is not to cast out. It's to lift up, actually. To lift up. You know, the way you see a diseased branch, they now say, lift it up so that you can mend it. The one that amazed me was, now the branch that is bearing fruit, it will now be pruned and purged so that it will bear more fruit. So there is no time to relax. There is no time to be, I mean, after all, by our zone, we are doing well. Don't mark yourself scripts yet. Just watch the journey. There's always more. So you look at it. I say, are they in the prayer meetings? That's how to mark what you are doing. Or else, what you are raising are fans. Fans have no commitment. No single commitment. A fan doesn't have a commitment. Like the players. Like the club itself. That's why some of them will just shift. Most of the guys who are Chelsea fans today. This thing, I was just led to say it. I didn't plan it, sincerely. They were just following trophy. No commitment. But someone says he's a Man City fan because of Guardiola. That's all. Lost of the world. Lost of money. They cannot be committed. But when you see an Arsenal fan, we are committed to a cause. We don't give in. It's through hell and high waters. We are loyal. We are faithful. We are But really, all jokes apart, don't breed fans who are fickle. There must be training. There must be the work that they must do. Now, look at the next thing he now says. Which is, we said there must be fruit, right? There must be fruit. The fruit of the ministry is men. How many men will be there in the service tomorrow because of you? And I'm not saying, you know already, we're on air. There's a whole lot that has been done for us. We're on air in the whole city, in the whole country. So we should be doing more. We're on air. So you can't say somebody came through the TV broadcast. That's not you. That's not you. Your job is after the person has come. Because we know his job is not just to come because he likes the word. We must show him the way he must walk and the work that he has to do. So look at the next thing he says here. He said, you provide men, we read that one. Who shall be rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens? So do we deal with numbers? Numbers. Data. Who are the people under me? Who? How many? So we are not about numbers. Stop saying things like that. You know, sometimes what you say will come to pass. There was a pastor I told. he would always come up and say something like, you know, everybody's leaving. I said, why do you always say it? No, say people are coming. I said, your ministry is following the pattern of your words. Do you know that as a younger preacher, I used to say something. I was wondering why every time I started the church would have a problem to close down. So I was wondering why. This was in the 90s. I was wondering why. I now noticed that was something I used to say. I liked Kenneth Hagin so much. He was not a pastor. And I also followed another person. In fact, the person I was talking about, that doctor was laughing. That one said he's an evangelist and teacher. So I never acknowledged being a pastor. I will say I am not a pastor. Foolishly, I will now start a church. So my words were pursuing me. It was coming after me. I sat back. What happened was that it took me years to see it. You know, sometimes God's leading is foresight, sometimes hindsight. You will just say, oh, that was God. You won't know when he's leading you at times. So I now said, that was what I was saying. I had to change my words. We don't say things like, many of them who will not hear, they will not hear truly. We say the whole world is hearing it. Hallelujah. So I told the pastor, I said, change what you are saying. There's something you are always saying. You're always saying that, you know, I said, start saying that the word of God is going to the nations. Start saying this place is flooded. Start saying, and you know something? It happened. You can't be a preacher and use words carelessly when the strength of your ministry are words. You heal the sick with words. You pray with words. You give thanks with words. You impact people's hearts with words. You get people filled with the Holy Ghost with words. Abba now, then watch what you say. Hallelujah. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. We are for numbers. So the ministry is not about numbers. I'm trying to correct something. Yeah, it's not about numbers or any kind of number. I won't say the ministry is not about numbers. I won't say that. I'll say it's not about any kind of number. That's better. Qualify what you are saying. It's about numbers. We want numbers. Hallelujah. It says go into all the world. Make examples of every nation. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Acts 1:8, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So which means, if we are not having men in our cell groups, we should not be happy. It's about numbers. He said, thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. Data. Remember Jesus too. When he asked them to sit, he said, sit them in companies of fifties. You must know numbers. Numbers. Of course, not the charismatic numbers. Where you have faking figures. You know, no, don't do that one. That one's devilish. But who came? So we must take cognizance of the numbers. 20 were around last week. How many do we want tomorrow? Do you have a desire? Do you have any desire? I'm asking.
Yes, sir.
You have a specific desire. By now, our fellowship should be 50 members. I should set such goals. Now we are 15. How do we become 50? It's not difficult. We sit back and say, in the 15, 5 are committed workers. 5 are in heaven and earth. They are in two worlds. The other 5 are outside the body of Christ. So, I sit back. Whilst I'm establishing the first 5, the second 5 need training. If I try to do it alone, I will end up frustrated. The resources are with me. I just need to focus on them. So the 5, I was beginning to teach them, train them. Part of the training is that we're going to be reaching out to people. So I'm achieving two things. We're reaching out to more people, and we're training people to be doing it at the same time. So I must know my priority at each time. At each point, what are your goals for 2023? We're already in September. Between now and the end of the year, what are your goals? How many do you want to be in your... There was someone I told in church, I said, do you know that this fellowship is underutilized? And I analyzed it. I said, you have some members here who have been around for 5 years, 6 years. What are you doing with them? And you know some people, they just like us. You know, we're doing family. So, we are not here for family. There's family in what we are doing. But we are here to expand. So I said, some believers may even not be comfortable with a new person. They'll just feel, who is this one that now has access to mama? No, she wants to have more people to talk to apart from you. Amen. You get the point. He wants to pass, apart from you. Say, this person say, no, we want new people. We want to see new guys in the service. So if you have a service and there's no first timer, there's a problem. I'm talking about your cell group. There's a problem. So you must pay attention to the numbers and be sure that you are also not recycling. Because you can have 10 new people every week. And in the 10, right? Nobody comes back next week. They're just recycling. A huge turnover of first timers, but not many being established. It's lack of focus on training. It's because we are probably just inviting people, getting them into the services. So the one that comes on Sunday doesn't go. We're just filling the seats, not filling the lives. So, in the number, what number are you looking out for? Put it down now. What number should you be now? You should know. That is what should be your concern. If many of us focus on our own work, we will not be bothered about what somebody is doing with his own work. That's what you should be doing now. How many should be here? Who should be here? There was something we did years ago. We noticed our meetings were increasing. Yeah? But I now asked them a question. That's the leaders. I said, how many people in these meetings are our members? I'm not sure the data we got then, but it was a bit low. Can you remember what I was saying? I said there's a problem. That means that the strength of our meetings is more into publicity. We should be able to do a meeting that needs no publicity. The people that come for your meetings without publicity, those are your members. So we're going to look at it. I think we've got to about 75% now. 75%, 80%. That these are our members. We can account for all of them. It was from a very abysmal figure. We have to be deliberate. We reduce the publicity deliberately. So that it will now be a question of the work we are really doing. Amen. Tough, right? Very tough. We reduced it. So that it's not that, I say, oh, we heard about this meeting, we just come. And that's all. You will see them next week. You have a special meeting, the whole hall is filled. Your next Sunday, the hall is half. Are you here? Aha. So, be very specific. Who is over who? Can we, is it biblical to account for everybody in the church? Yes. Everybody. Who is this person? Who and where? It can be done for 1 million. It can be done for 5 million. It can be done for 20 million. Who? So, do not... Know the difference between people coming by invitation and publicity. People coming because you are teaching them. So attending church is part of your discipleship. Are you following what I'm saying here, please? So you look at it. How many people should be in your fellowship now? Please write it down. How many are there? How many? Data is very important. Data does not lie. It doesn't lie. And sometimes you won't like what you are saying. That's the truth. Data, you will hate the facts. That is just the facts. The earlier you deal with the facts, the better. You say people are, you know, naturally, this is the ideal. The number that come for church should be the number that come for prayer meetings. Am I correct? That's the ideal. The number that come on Sunday should come on Wednesday. That's the ideal. I know we are all trying to get there. In fact, we look at it and say, this same place that was filled on Sunday, you will just be, now let us face the facts. Why? Let's face the facts. Why? Why? When you sit down and say the why, then you will not have prayer points. Why? Then you now start praying. Start thinking. Because if you pray without thinking, it's not good. If you think without praying, it is worse. You need to think and pray. Thinking is not anti-faith. Sit down. Why? Sometimes it could be our mobilization. Sometimes it could be the person who wants to go and bring a first timer, they brought Paul to church. You know, they brought Paul to church. Barnabas brought him like this. And Ananias came to validate him. So you see, there are people that are responsible. What do we do on Sunday mornings? You just wake up. You, a shepherd, just woke up. Service is 7 o'clock. You are walking to church alone. How now? How now? No, you cannot come alone, sir. No, 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 sir. You can't come alone. You can't come alone. It's not possible. In those days, I don't have those days. Now, our church used to meet in the evening, so we used to go to a Christ Embassy service in the morning. So we did our own meetings, but our own was, we used to have church service every day. Every day. But mornings, because we're not doing morning services, we go to Christ Embassy in the morning. It must be 94 and 95 or 96. I will hire a bus. I'll say in the Ikorodu, church was in Kenya. I will hire a bus and we'll fill it and we never were late once. Not once. And welcome. I'm saying 94, 95. The present guy who draws for Pastor Chris, I was the one who took him there. He's main than this that does percussion. He's my guy. He's the person I said didn't speak in tongues for 10 years. Finally, I'm giving out his information. He's my guy. I just spoke 2 weeks ago. I'll take a bus, fill it up. Ministry is practical. How many of us just learned by somebody pushed you? Somebody urged you? Somebody flogged you? Somebody fed you? Amen? I'm not saying the word though. I bring them in the bus. The same set will still come in the evening though. So, it may be that something simple. You get up in the morning. You are a leader. By 5:30, you are already calling. And brother so-and-so, make sure you get these 3 guys. Sister so-and-so, are you, please get there by 6:30. 6:30, by 6:30, you are calling. That's ministry. Amen. By 2:07, you are taking your notes. By the time we are done in the service, how many were supposed to come? 40. How many came? 20. Where are the 20? I didn't check them immediately. The follow-up is that day. Is that Sunday that he did not come that you go and check? Do you know that these are things people that don't have sound doctrine do easily? We expect that we just speak, we just sit down on the bed. There was a guy like that, a friend of mine, he's a friend still. He would just lie on the bed. Who will go out to go and pray? He will sit on the bed on campus then. You just say, potatoes. La 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 la, potatoes. No, I'm not joking, no, that's the tongue. Potatoes. La potatoes. Who will have gone the potatoes? So one of my friends went to check the meaning of potatoes. Greek word though. It's a Greek word. It means, what manner of man am I? I'm not joking though. No, I'm not joking though. Seriously. I'm not joking. Potatoes. I'm not joking. Seriously, seriously. What manner of man am I? You are the pastor. I said, potatoes! Get up and go and call people and get people. We need them in the hall. Mobilize buses. Hallelujah. Because we are committed to them. Some of them, it will take them a while to know why you are doing what you are doing. So Sunday is a full-time day. Saturday now work day for minister. You now go and do party. You go party. You went from one wedding to burial to naming ceremony. Then by evening, you just say, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the numbers are coming, hallelujah. Oh, potatoes. They are gone. Where are they coming from? Amen. By evening, we're thinking tomorrow, who's getting the bus? Brother James, you're just the bus. Make sure the bus arrives by 6:30. Brother so and so, another. There are those who come with their own cars. Do you get it? You get to them. You know, there are those that you are going to see them have their bath. Okay, I'll go inside. Okay. I'll come. I know. You are both coming. Eventually, these people are established and they become the workers in the house of God. There's a lot of commitment that go. Why do you think Jesus was going to those houses? Was he going there to sleep? So we have to have the work. Why? If I'm supposed to have 50, and I have 10. Why do I have 10? I must answer that question myself. Is it our follow-up? Do we have time for them? Do we even create time? Do I have enough hands? I told the guy in church, I said, just increase the workers. The work will be better. You are not training workers. You just come on Tuesday, teach and go. You will just be having the same problem. Create the time. Those people that you teach, now bring them close. Begin to teach them. Multiply yourself. Multiply your efforts. The work that they must do. Are we here?
Yes,
sir. So use data. Use statistics. I said something the other day. I know you looked at it. I said Nigeria has a population of young people about 70%. Which means you must be prepared to parent people. There are many people who don't have parents. Not that their fathers are not alive. But you will practically see that there's a loose parenting in society now. You are going to have to take responsibility. That is why your life must be exemplary. You will practically raise people. That is part of your congregation. Many of them tell them what to do. Get involved in their life's decisions. Talk about those in Nigeria. Maybe those in other countries is different, but I'm talking Nigeria. And those are the facts. Don't ignore the facts. Don't. When there was a time in Lagos in 2020, and then something happened and people began to loot houses and all that, I now called the workers' meeting. And the number was, I said, now. Don't be foolish and say, ha! Can you imagine? Jesus? I said, That shows you your work. That means we have a very morally disciplined society. That is your harvest. So what you don't say, lock yourself up and start to pray. That's the harvest. We are not going to ask the government to do what the church should be doing. It's not the government that is responsible for the moral fiber of society. How? It's the church. It's the church. So we are responsible. The increase in Yahoo Yahoo, in wrong girls, all those in drugs. The church, what are we preaching? What are we doing? It's our job. So in closing, why am I 10 instead of 50? Why am I 50 instead of 100? You must answer that question. There's nothing as horrible. A friend of mine said this to me, I can't forget it, it's late now, about 30 years ago, he said, if there's something shaggy you must never lose, is your enthusiasm. He said, when it is gone, you are gone. Now, if you are no longer enthusiastic about people coming, something is wrong. You should never want an empty seat in your service, in your cell group. Never. You shouldn't want it. Don't want it. It will happen, it will happen. But don't want it. Keep working hard. So answer that question. And I really want you to answer that question today. In this service. As we finish, sit back. Answer that question. Why are we 20 instead of 50? Why are we 100 instead of 200? Answer that question. Do we lack the manpower? Am I committed enough? Do I create time? As the zonal pastor and the district pastor, do I go out with them? Or I sit back and take the statistics? As the pastor of the cell, do I pray for them? You know, oftentimes in the body, even in life generally, we assume somebody else is doing what we should be doing. You just think that, Dr. Isha is praying for all of us. You know, there's a way you can say that. No. You have to do the praying. Why are we 10 instead of 50? Don't say things like, hey, because it's the word. You know, people don't like. I told you, stop saying things like that. Stop saying, you know, the people are against. I don't use words like many who hear. I don't use words like many for unbelief. Never. Some. Because we are having the many. And we are having the most. Our words go in the direction of what we believe. We believe that the whole land will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what we are saying. We are believing for lighthouses across the whole city and states and nations. That is what we are going to keep saying. We are praying it and we are saying it. So why are we 10 instead of 50? Why are we 50 instead of 100? Now let me say the last one as we close this morning. Who should be in service tomorrow? And what can you do about it? Start having such timelines every week. Who should be in the service? Don't forget, it's not any number. It's those that we are praying for, teaching, showing them how they must walk and the work they must do. What is the membership base of your zone? Membership base will be those who have come. Maybe more than once, definitely. They may not be committed, but they are your members. What are you doing about them? If you are faithful with 5, you will get 10. If you are not faithful with 5, nobody is going to give you 10. How faithful are you with those with you? How? So you have to be faithful. You have to be faithful. So tomorrow, let's start tomorrow. Can we start tomorrow? I didn't hear any answers. We're starting tomorrow. And tomorrow begins today. So we are going to work hard today. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to work hard. We're going to work really hard. Work really hard. Work really hard today. There are people we have not seen for long. We're going to see them. And we're not just going to see them to bring them to church. We are going to be with them, teach them. There are those we are going to take out. Because today some of us will go for evangelism, we'll go together. We are going to start it today. Hallelujah. So those people on your list, they are individuals. Never discard facts. Don't look away. Don't deny the facts. The facts before you is that in the last 6 months, your entire cell group has only done outreaches and won 10 souls. That's the truth. You've only had two people who are concerned in church. That is the truth. Now let us change things and be deliberate with the facts. So in closing, hope we learn something. What do I do with the new convert and first timer? Number one, how often? I should have a prayer diary that I pray for people every day of the week. Of course, that doesn't take away the fact that I'll be led to pray for some. Okay? Praying regularly. Am I talking about corporate prayer?
No.
No. You. God wants to hear you talk about them. Number two,
teach.
Explain. And when I'm teaching what I've been taught. So when I'm being taught, I pay good attention to the details, to the illustrations. Repeat the illustrations. That's number two. Number three. That's look for activities that give you a feedback. A feedback of study. A feedback of the person's life. Number four. And the walk. Which means we'll go out together to preach. We'll sit, part of the number three is that both of us will sit down and watch riots. Then I'll watch you. You have to watch. Lan, what are you doing to me? I want to use you again. Years ago, this part of it, I brought them himself. We were three guys. We were two or three. Just the two of you. There was no third person. Okay. Subsequent ones. So I asked him. I now played a teaching. I will tell you who the person was. Pastor Ayereshi Jafo. So he was saying things that they did not agree with. I deliberately did it. Then I said, what's he for saying? Is that the word? Is that the word? I said, hey, tell me now. They're telling me, you know, you should have explained it like this. I looked at them. So I put up the TV. What have you done with the one you are hearing? So I said, this one has been in this for how many long? Too many people are born again because of it. Now you that have this light, apart from using the torchlight on yourself, what have you used it to do? I chased them out. It was Amatan. First of all, prayer. I chased them near my AC. It's about 20 years ago. And they sat there. And they prayed till the next week. For men's part, when they see a man of God, they go. It's me that can talk. You keep quiet. It's doctor that can talk about things. But not his mate.
Sir.
Amen?
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 Amen.
Above Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. When Paul wrote the church, he never told the church to correct any minister. He said, avoid. It was only Timothy and Titus he told to correct because they were pastors. Amen?
Amen.
Did you see the apostles in the four gospels talk to the Pharisees? No. Hallelujah. That got home, right? He said, you go and face your work. They held the AC. Into your avatar, pray in tongues. I don't know whether you pray in tongues eventually because we are just shaking. Now you have direction. So you watch riot together. Yes, taking notes. Yeah, what did you write? Homologia. Homolobi. It's not homolobi. We are writing properly. Homologia. Here he spelled it. H-O-K-H-O. Yep. Did you see the example? The illustration he gave? What is it? Write down the illustration. It's part of the teaching. The example. Now, this is showing them the way to walk. How to write notes. How to pray. Don't assume people know those things. Amen. And finally, we take them out for the work of the ministry. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Don't forget what we said on Wednesday. No distractions. Be very focused. You know what you want. Be very focused. Don't solve a problem. One day, I got my daughter. She sent me something on WhatsApp about the church. Something like, if Paul were to write the church today, he would say this. And say, I said, why are you writing? He said, the church. I said, why are you talking about the church? I said, the church is this one. So she says a lot of things. I said, now, is this your church? My daughter, she said, no. Then, why are you solving a problem you don't have? Is your church materialistic? She said, no. Is your church, hey, now, who are your disciples in church? She can't hook my daughter. I said, focus on those ones. Amen. You don't have that problem. So don't solve it. One friend said, church, or same story about one church, and said, they says, I said, is this your church? He said, no. You, how many of your disciples are in church? She hook. When they ask you about your own, you go hook. Face your own. There's no better way to correct some of those things than our own examples. We will raise men who know, who can discern their right from their left. Amen. But that's our major work. Along the line, we'll be flogging, you know. Because flog is part of ministry. Even if there's no way you can't teach the truth without debunking a lie. It's not possible. But don't focus on debunking the lie. As you are teaching the truth is already an offense. It is anything you say that is biblical is an offense. Don't now, you know, focus on your own congregation. Do you understand it? So you sit down together, watch, take notes. Hey, so when he said communion, he's about fellowship. Hey, I just wrote it down. Do you understand the Greek word he used? Yeah. Do you have a strong word that I don't have? Okay, take my own. Look at it yourself. That is follow up. How to use it. I've taught them in church how to use Strong's Concordance. This is how to use it. This is how to, when you want to check this, this is how to check it. This is how to do it. It's part of your work. So the work they must walk and the work they must do. Men are brethren. Don't let postpone things. Amen. Don't say, I can see what you are saying. October. No, it's today. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's just pray. Oh Father.